Paul, exhorting and talking to young Timothy, he said these words, "I exhort therefore that first of all," that's big, "that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." And then the greatest person of prayer, source of prayer, is in verse number 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Look down if you will. Well, let's read verse 7. "Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere." Does that exclude anybody? Now, I know the word men there it's not referring to just the male or men gender. It's, that is a term that is used oftentimes in the scripture. Just right here, "I will have, therefore that men pray everywhere." Is that just talking about men? Women's not included. Children's not included. No. That's a term that identifies the human race. "I will therefore that men pray everywhere." Men, Luke 18, 1, men ought always to pray. And here he said that we are to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I don't know in the scriptures of any subject that is dealt, other than Christ, of course, that is dealt with more than that of prayer. Now, it seemed to me common sense approach to that thought would be that if God says a whole lot about something, then that something ought to have a whole lot of our attention. But I think that every failure in I believe our nation shows a lot of failure. I believe our churches are showing a lot of failure. I think, no doubt, our homes are showing a lot of failure, but all of them can be traced to prayer failure. If Jesus picked one thing to identify the characteristic of God's house, you would have thought several things could apply, but Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Over 200 references in the New Testament in one form or another to that of prayer. That's a lot. There's a lot of Bible. In fact, the largest chapter in our Bible is chapter 119 of Psalms. And I know that if I were to ask you tonight, what is the subject of 119? Everybody would say the Word of God. Because every verse, I think with the exception of two, deals in some way with the Word of God in those verses through those 174, 175 verses. But really, if you look at it, that whole chapter, being the largest chapter, is not just about the Bible. It's David praying the Bible. That whole chapter is a prayer chapter. And I don't know but what a lot of depth could come into our prayer life if we would learn to pray the Scriptures. I think that's the reason a lot of people can't pray over 5 minutes or 3 minutes or whatever the case is they run out of stuff to pray. But we ought to pray the Bible on people. We ought to pray the Bible on people. If you're praying for lost people, pray the Bible on them. If you're praying for someone in the church or someone in your family, amen, pray the Bible upon them. Pray what the Bible says. Amen. The Bible said in Psalms, just this come to mind, Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. And I'm praying for John Doe over here. Lord, create in him a clean heart. Work a right spirit in him or her, whatever the case is. But we could pray the Word of God. Amen. Pray about your joy. Pray about the power of God. Pray about your purpose in life. But as we come to this passage of Scripture, and I want to just say it starting out, I am the most terrible example of what I'm preaching tonight. And I mean that with all my heart. I wished I could say the prayer first principle is daily and consistently active in my life. I wished I could say that. And I could say that if I was walking in the Spirit the whole time. So amen right there. And you could say that too as well. I believe the Spirit of God, if He writes this in the Bible, He's trying to lead us in that direction. And Paul said, I exhort therefore that first of all. And then he mentions some categories of prayer. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. Be made for all men. But that prayer first principle is what I want to start focusing on, if I could. I was planning on preaching this on Sunday night, I believe it was. I came to church to preach from this passage, but the Lord led otherwise, and that's fine if He wants to do that. I don't know of anything that would impact our church more as a congregation or me as an individual or my family if we got more serious about praying. I don't know of anything that's more effectual. I don't know of many things in the Bible that God's Word says is more effectual. But we do know James, the epistle of James says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That word availeth much means accomplishes much. What God says accomplishes much, we do the least of. Amen. Wonder who's behind that. Wonder who's behind the suggestions in your mind of, well, I'll pray later about that. Who do you think's behind the absent-mindedness of not even thinking about it? How many of us have heard requests and we never even thought more about it? For sure, if you don't think about it, you won't pray about it. If it's not big enough to even get in your mind and get your focus and get your attention, it's certainly not going to be prayed over. But I want us to look at this. The word first there in this passage of Scripture is probably the biggest word in this text verse. You'd think if I asked the question, which is the biggest word in this, you would maybe could point out several things. But I don't think that any of them would have the weight that God wants them to have if you eliminate the word first in that verse. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying that first of all, not just first, but first of all. And that's big. We'll look at that, I don't know about tonight, but we'll look at that later on. I wrote this down. If prayer is not first, then where is it at on the list of your life? Really, to be honest with you, first place is the only place you can keep up with it. If prayer is not first, then it's somewhere down the list, and none of us probably could say, oh yeah, preacher, prayer for me is in slot 7. None of us, Brother Craig, could say, no, my prayer's not first. I'm not really where I need to be with that. But I know where it's at, though, preach. It's down here in slot number 12. No, if it comes out of first place, it not only loses its place, but we lose sight of where it's at. And really, if it's not in first place, it really will not be in second place. How many agrees with that? If it's going to move out of first, that shows a downward move, and it's not just going to move to the next slot. If it comes out, if we're carnal enough to pull prayer out of first place, we won't be spiritual enough to put it in second place. And if there's ever a day that God's people should be able to ring the prayer bells of heaven, it's in this day of chaos, in this day of absolute uncertainty on every hand, we should be able to pray. And if RBT could be anything, it needs to be a house of prayer. When the disciples come to Jesus, they could have asked him for anything. They could have asked him, teach us to preach. Man, because Jesus was a preacher. They could have asked him, teach us to do miracles. Teach us to, and it could have been 100 things. But you know what they asked? They come to the Lord and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. What do you think's implied in that statement? I'll finish it for you. Lord, teach us to pray like you pray. Because they had heard him pray. They had watched him pray. Well, I feel a witness right there. I wonder how many of us could recognize our own insufficiency and inability concerning prayer to the point that we could pray about it and say, Lord, I don't have it together. I'm not where I need to be in the realm of prayer, especially in this prayer first principle. Lord, teach me to pray. I wonder how many of us have said that. I wonder how many of us have said that in the last 2 weeks even. Lord, teach us to pray. Amen? If prayer is not first, then what efforts are being made to move prayer in the upward direction toward first place? That come on my heart strong today. If it's not in first place, and most of us would have to say it's not, if it's not in first place, then we don't know where it is, but we know where it is not. We know that it's not in first place, so it's down the list somewhere. But I wonder, are we making efforts, wherever it is, to move it in a Godward direction or in the direction of first place? Because I promise you this is right, and you know it's right. If you're content for prayer to be in the 25th position of priorities in your life, that's where it'll stay until it goes even further down the list. Amen. God help us with that. Listen at this. Jesus was not God's second choice for your cross. Neither will he settle for your second place choice for him. You weren't God's second choice. Jesus was not God's second choice. No, no. Amen. Jesus wasn't God's second place choice for you. Why would we allow him to be a second place choice to us? Here's some more sayings. If your first step is not your best step, then your second step will not be your best step. Think of that. How many wants that repeated? How many cares? If your first step is not your best step, think of that statement now before I finish it. If your first step in a crisis, your first step of response, your first step of reaction, if your first step is not your best step, then how could your second step be your best step? You can't. Amen. We've heard the statement, putting your best foot forward. Putting your best foot forward, starting out on the right foot. How many have heard that statement? Well, God's Word shows us in this verse that prayer is that first step. Prayer is that best step for us. And again, I'm not there, but I need to get there. Amen. Because Luke 18:1, I've been studying on that too more, but the Bible says men ought always to pray and not to what? Faint. And brother, we are in fainting days. Churches, preachers, people that you never thought would are fainting in this hour because of the pressure and because of all that's going on. But really the truth is that if there's a fainting going on in your life spiritually, it's not because of the virus. It's not because of the Democrats or the Republicans. It's not because of the politicians. It's not because of the Iran or Iraq or China or Russia. No. If I'm fainting, Proverbs 24:10 tells me why I am fainting. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Well, what contributes to your life strength more than prayer and communion and communication with the God of heaven? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. If we're praying, we're not fainting. If we're fainting, we're not praying. But far worse than anything is when we start fainting in our praying. When praying itself starts to faint. When it starts to lose balance, when it starts to lose focus, we're going to be in bad shape. Listen to this. Everyone has a first place in their life, and it will never be empty. Your first place in your life, Jesus may not be in it, prayer may not be in it, but something's in it, or someone is in it, or something is in it. Nobody in here ever has an empty first place. Nobody. In fact, truthfully, most of us would have to say that position normally is filled with self. Say amen right there. If you want to know where you are spiritually, you don't have to look at 10, 11, 15, 25, or 30 positions. Just look at number one. What or who is in first place? Because whatever is in or whoever is in first place, that's leadership. That's direction. Amen. If whatever or whoever it is that's in first place, if it's someone or something other than Jesus, then whatever or whoever's in first place is carnal. It's worldly. It's of the flesh. And that shows what direction. Here's what happens, though. Here's what happens. If first place is filled with carnality. How is that not going to influence the rest of the positions? That's going to influence every position in your life, every day of your life, every hour of your life. If your heart is carnal and that first place choice that you allowed to be in first place, priority, preeminence, then that dictates that same nature is going to filter all the way down, Lord only knows how far. Amen. In fact, if the first place is carnal, you'll probably be hard-pressed to even find anything spiritual on your list. It's quiet. I knew it would be because I need it. We got this prayer list right here. Do y'all understand? Do we understand tonight what potential is on this right here? Could you imagine if 48 people prayed? I'm not talking about just says phrases and closet statements and words. I'm talking about get a hold of God. Could you imagine what the results of that would be? There's no telling. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, every one of these is going to commit to being to praying first. Prayer is not going to be something we do sometime. It's going to be what we do. That's going to be our first resort. It's not our last resort. It's going to be our first resort. The first thing we're going to do is pray about it. Amen. The first thing we're going to do is seek God's face about it. Study your Bible. Look at Bible characters in the Word of God that God used. They were people of prayer. Amen. Praying about, Lord, am I to pursue? Am I to go after them? Well, I wouldn't even have prayed about that. The enemy had their wives. Who's going to sit back and say, well, I don't know. I don't know who got my wife. I'm going to pray about whether I should go after or not. No. Brother Fultz, you wouldn't pray about that, would you? You'd be getting them... You'd be getting in your artillery over there in your arsenal, and you'd be loading up the car and say, I'll pray about it later. If there's any prayer that's going on, it would be, Lord, I hope they're ready because they're fixing to go out into eternity. If they touch a hair on Miss Candy's head, it's over. But David said, Lord, do you want us to pursue? And you know what the Lord said? Pursue. Good, that's what I wanted to do anyway. But now, as I'm pursuing, I've got confidence that God is on my side and that God is going to take care of us. Amen. And my little is going to turn into a lot because God is going to equal, more than equal, the occasion. Amen. What is first to you? Listen to this. This is good. We ain't getting far tonight, but that's all right. What is first to you is your best, but what is first to God is His best. And what did He tell us to do right here? First of all, pray. First of all, pray. First of all. Amen? If we could interject another word there instead of our best. What's first to me is what's big to me. What's first to God is what's big to Him. Amen. Let me ask you this question. I wrote it down, Lord, ask me. Whatever has first place will also have your devotion, your devotions with an S, your desires, your diligence, your direction, your discipline, and the list goes on and on. Amen. It goes on and on. My, how big is first place in your life? Let me just start with the first thing I want to deal with, and I don't know, this may be all we'll get done tonight. I want to start out in verse 1, and I want to look at the first statement made. I exhort therefore. The first thing that we're going to cover tonight on this prayer first principle, the first thing is the plea for the prayer first. Somebody is doing the pleading here. They said, and we know, of course, it was the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he said, I personally, not we, he said, I personally exhort therefore that first of all. So somebody's making the plea. Listen, how often do we hear prayer preached on? I'm talking about here. I'm talking about RBT. How often does prayer get preached on here? Not near enough. Not near enough. And I'm going to be honest with you, friend. Your flesh don't want it preached on. I promise you, if there's anything that your flesh despises, your flesh despises messages and conviction about praying. So I want to talk about the plea for this prayer first. I exhort. The word exhort there means to call near. The Apostle Paul knew first thing in this plea here, he knew that if you're going to pray first of all, then you're going to have to be near. So Paul is calling near. He's calling the near. To call near, to invite, to invoke. He uses the word and he uses it, and it's translated this way, I beseech thee. Romans 12, 1, I beseech thee, therefore, brethren. That word I beseech is this word right here, translated exhort. Paul is God's man and a praying man. He was exhorting and inviting and urging and putting upon the necessity onto God's people to pray. Actually, if you take it literal, Paul, an older preacher talking to a younger preacher, one generation talking to another generation, and what he was putting the pressure on and in the necessity to on and the urgency on was to pray. The next generation, if they don't learn to pray, you know why grandma and grandpa and that generation that most of them is already gone, you know why they were so effective? They were praying people. They were not only praying people, but they were people that walked with devotion to the Lord. They knew what it was to walk with the Lord and spend time with the Lord. I remember, and I'm not going to get hung up right here, but I remember after my grandpa died, that we would take turns, some of us grandkids would take turns staying with grandma. And I wasn't even saved. And Brother Craig, I would a lot of times while she's praying, I would have my eyes open and I would just be watching her. Brother, she was talking to God. She wasn't just going through the motions and she weren't just saying words. I mean, she would start out praying and it wouldn't be, listen, it didn't take her long. It didn't take her long to get inside the gate, friend. I promise you. And then the glasses would come off. And then the tears would start running down her face. And she would have that head leaned up, looking up into heaven, amen. And she was praying. And I mean, God was all over that woman. And I would watch her. My goodness. How one generation needs to be pleading for the next generation to start focusing more on prayer and letting it get in the first place. Amen. Because if they don't learn to pray, what hope is there going to make it? How are they going to make it when the demonic forces of hell is dumped on this world? How in the world are they going to make it? Amen. And listen, I'm not just talking to the next generation. I want to hear it myself that if I don't get more serious about prayer, listen, I don't know how I'm going to make it. The pressure that we're feeling now, I hate it. But I want to tell you, it's nothing compared to what's coming. I'm talking about if our country continues on its present course, I'm telling you the pressure and the problems are going to be astronomical. And if we don't have a spiritual life and a spiritual prayer life to offset that and to counter that, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. And I don't want any of you to think, and I don't want to think that I can make it. I want us to know that if the Apostle Paul said that he could be a castaway, if the Apostle Paul could have been a spiritual casualty, as great a man as he was, I promise you I could fall. I guarantee you none of us in here are exempt. We all know somebody that used to be in church, that used to testify, that used to sing in the choir, that used to have seemingly a walk with God, and then now look where are they at. And I could be another one of the number. Amen. When it got tough on Jesus, guess what he would do? He'd steal away out into his special garden out there in the garden, guess that was a special place for him. Or else he'd go up on a mountain, or he'd just go out into the wilderness, go out and spend all night in prayer. Oh my goodness, Brother Benton, can we get a hold of this? That if Jesus, the Son of God, saw the necessity of praying and fellowshipping with his Father, how much more? How much more do I need to pray? God manifest in the flesh was praying, Brother Aaron. How much more should I pray and you pray? Well, amen. I don't know of anything we need stirred up about and have commitment to more than that. God's man. Listen, Paul, if you go back, and I did, I went back and looked at it. Go back to Acts chapter 9. That's when Paul got saved, or it was Saul of Tarsus. That's when he got saved. Well, guess what? The first thing that we see him doing, as recorded in the Scripture, he's called Brother Saul, I think. And he said, behold, he prayeth. He didn't set no classes. He hadn't heard nobody preach on it. But the first thing, listen, oh, that's big. The first thing that the Apostle Paul was stated to doing after he got saved was, behold, he prayeth. Where did he learn that, Brother Brian? The Spirit of God take up residence in you. The Holy Spirit of God is going to lead every child of God toward that first principle prayer. He was praying before he preached. He was praying before he was persecuted. He was praying before anything ever happened. He was praying before Ananias ever even showed up. He was praying, Brother Scott, before his purpose was revealed. Ananias told him he was going to be a prophet of the Gentiles. Before he even knew any of that, the Bible said he was praying. Amen. It's normal. Can I say that? It's normal for children to want to communicate to daddy. In fact, a lot of times there's a little discussion between mama and daddy as to which word is going to come out of the baby's mouth first, mama or daddy. Right? How many, Miss June? You had as many as anybody here. Do you have any that said mama first, or do you remember? Probably all of them. Any of you in here remember if your child said daddy, daddy, or something similar to that first? Well, what about that? Yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah. Yeah, that's right. We know who the big dog is. We know who's valuable, huh? But we have been, listen, we've been, according to the Word of God, we receive the adoption of sons whereby we cry, what? Abba, Father. Now, in fact, listen, Abba, that's a baby talk. That's baby talk. When a baby don't know what 2 + 2 is, don't even know what 2 is, don't even know what 1 is, but they know who Dada is and Mama is. Amen. Oh, if that comes in with their birth, how much more when we are born again. Amen. We're born again, that it comes in with the Spirit of God to look up and say, Abba, Father. It ought to be as normal for us to pray as it is for a child to address mom and daddy in their life. And when they finally get it down, they may just hit it a lick or two at first, but when they finally get it down, it's dad, dad this and mama this, amen. And that don't stop until they retire at 75. But the only difference is when they get a little older, they start doing this. Along with the dad and the mama, here, you know, give me. I want. Amen. I can hear them pitching fits all over Walmart. screaming like somebody's killing them and they're on the toy aisle. And mama just told them, you can't have that. Anyway, the plea of the prayer first come from a man who did it himself. He prayed first. And I believe this with all my heart, that Paul probably had a greater effect on people through his praying than he did his preaching. In fact, there's several. I've got a book by Arthur Pink. That thing's that thick. And it's nothing but the prayers of the Apostle Paul. They're recorded. Paul would write down in the epistles he wrote, he would write down occasionally the prayer that he was praying. Amen. God help us to be stirred up about our praying. C.H. Spurgeon said this, I had rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. Brother Massengill said this, there's a price to pay for men to pray, but the price to pay is far greater if men do not pray. Personal prayer is evidence of our dependence upon God. Prayer is not the last resort, but God wants it to be the first line of defense. It's not the last thing we do, it's the first thing we do. But is that true in my life? I was praying and I said, Lord, you want me to preach this? I've been studying on this thing. And I said, Lord, I am the most terrible example of this. I pray, but I don't know that I could lay hold of that first place. That prayer first business. I'm just being honest with you. You say, oh, Lord, preach, I can't believe you saying that. Well, I'm just being honest about it, amen. The plea for prayer is coming from somebody that did it themselves. And if we're going to plea for others to pray first of all, if we're going to do that, it needs to be evident in our life. It was with the Apostle Paul. Amen. God help us. He's trying to call those people, Timothy and the others, near. Let me mention a second one. We may at least try to get this one. This is not going to be a long one anyway. It's the next word in our verse. I exhort, and keep in mind that word exhort means to call near, to invite, beseech, call for, desire, to entreat. Listen, prayer's a big deal to Paul. I think the reason we don't hear much on it preached on it much is because it's not a big deal. Don't you think that's right? I believe, no doubt, that's probably right. But the second thing, not only the plea of this prayer, first principle, but number two, there is the purpose. The purpose. I exhort, therefore. How many of us know what the therefore is there for? When you see a therefore, you need to pause and look and see what it is there for. It normally is reaching back and dealing with something that had just been said. Let's look at that. I'm not going to go in a lot of details on it. Let's just read the last three verses of the previous chapter. Chapter 1. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare. There's a lot in that statement, that verse I just read, but I want to lift out just to show that there's a purpose. Anytime there's an emphasis of prayer, there's always a purpose. If we pray on purpose, it's because we have a purpose to pray. Prayerlessness does not have a purpose. It's easy to go and not pray when there's no purpose to pray. When you're not wanting anything, you're not needing anything. Isn't that right? So why do we need, I exhort you therefore, Timothy, I'm exhorting you to pray, therefore to pray. Why? Because you're involved in a warfare. You need to learn to pray, Timothy. You need to learn to pray first of all. Why? Because so that you can war a good warfare. If you can war a good warfare, then you could probably war a bad warfare. And the difference between the good warfare and the bad warfare is going to be whether or not we are people of prayer. Amen. I exhort therefore. So not only that, look in verse 19. Look at verse 19. Not only did he talks about warring a good warfare, and boy, I want to do that. But verse number 19, holding faith. That's involved in that, therefore, holding faith and a good conscience. You believe God wants us to do that? Holding faith and a good conscience. Look at this. Which some having put away. It wasn't taken away. They put it away. Watch this now. Some having put away concerning the faith have made shipwreck. Brother Benton, I think you preached on shipwreck back a few weeks ago, didn't you? I don't know if you used this verse or not, or referenced it. But in light of prayer, I exhort therefore, in light of the fact, Brother Craig, that you and I, any of us in here, we could crumble, we could falter, we could, instead of holding faith, we could release that faith. And it said there, and some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Do you understand tonight that you could be in that classification? That quickly. Shipwreck. Boy, I don't want that. I don't want nobody to talk about Preacher Rackley in past tense. Oh, he used to. He used to be this. He used to be at RBT. He used to preach. He used to pastor. He used to pray. He whatever. No, I want it to be in the present tense. He's still at it. The purpose not only is that we might war a good warfare and it involves us in our prayer life, but secondly, to avoiding shipwreck. Amen. Verse 20, he goes on at right out of actually all three of those verses serve as one sentence. The period doesn't come until the end of verse 20. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, who I have delivered unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. And if I'm not reading that wrong, that's two of those that had made shipwreck. Now, how do you go from holding faith and of a good conscience to being in a spiritual shipwreck? And then in verse number 20, Paul turns them over and delivers them over to the devil that the devil may come against them for the purpose that they may learn not to blaspheme. I don't know. I know this. And he come in on the tail end of that and said, I exhort therefore. When you realize how that shipwreck is possible, warring a good warfare can be turned to warring a bad warfare. And warring a bad warfare is when you switch sides and you're, instead of fighting the enemy, you're joining forces with the enemy. Listen, I don't want to do that, but I could. You could. All right? That's the purpose. The purpose. I exhort therefore. And that word therefore is not just reaching back to those verses preceding it, but it is also, it is reaching ahead. It is reaching ahead. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Amen. Verse 4, he would have all men to be saved. You think that's in the context of the praying? You think that's involved in the praying? Why should we pray? Why? Because it depends. A lot of people get saved because somebody was praying for them, no doubt. The purpose of prayer for first. And I'm not even going to get on this one because this is going to be a big one. And that is the priority of prayer first. Priority. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, that is what I'm telling you to do and asking you to do, is that it's to be a priority. I'm asking myself, I'm asking you, not to answer outwardly but inwardly, is prayer a priority? Now listen, be honest now, most of us would have to say, it depends on the day I'm having. It depends on the circumstances that I'm having. It depends on how I feel. I'm going to have to check the weather. I'll let you know. I'll get back to you this evening. I'm going to have to wait and see what a day I've had. No. If prayer first is not prayer first, then that has not come to be that because of circumstances. It has not become that, it didn't come that way because of crisis and things that happen. You know why prayer first is not prayer first? It's a lack of spirituality. It's a lack of my spiritual, it's not conditions that determine that. It's my condition that's the reason. Amen. Do we really believe tonight, and I'm about done, do we really believe tonight that God's just going to do it? Youth camp, if the Lord works that out, we can have it. Do you think that's just going to happen? Do you think, well, it's just going to fall out of the sky? No, people's going to have to pray. Do you think RBT is going to be the RBT that God wants her to be, God wants us to be? It's just going to happen? It's not, Brother Craig. It's not just going to happen, Brother Ryan. It's going to be God's people committing to praying because God will do in response to prayer what He will not do any other way. And this is a whole other point, but I'm going to give you this. Lord, give this to me while I was getting ready today. He said, I exhort therefore that, what did He say here? I got it in my hand. I was coming up here to look at it and I got it in my hand. Look what he said. First of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for, say it again, all men. You know what that means? Lord spoke to my heart there, praying for all men. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl is outside of the boundaries of answered prayer. If I'm to pray for all men, that means my prayers can reach all men. Now, I don't know all the depth of that. I don't know all of what that means. I'm going to study more on that. I'll be ready, Lord willing, when I get to that point. But that's big right there. Hey, man, it don't matter where they are on this globe. Prayer can reach them. Prayer can move the hand and faith. Prayer and faith can move the hand of God in their behalf. How many of us have give up on people? Oh, they're too bad. They went too far. Look what he said. He said, kings, and for all that are in authority. I didn't look that up, but I about guarantee that includes politicians. Help us, Lord. What difference could be made in our country if God's people got back to that prayer first principle? To be able to pray for kings. You think about how far out of my reach a king is. I'm talking about an earthly king. They don't know me. They don't know me. I couldn't go see any of them. But I can pray for them. I don't know exactly what we're going to preach on that yet. We're going to study it out. But it said there that it's to be made for all men. And that can come right out of me. That can come right out of RBT. Amen. But there is the priority of prayer. And we're going to look at that. And we're going to major on that verse. Or on that point. We're going to major on the word first. Firstly, in time, place, order, importance. Before anything else. At the beginning. Chiefly. First of all. I'm not there. I'll be honest with you. I'm not there. But God's not sending this message to us because we are where we need to be. I believe He's sending a message to us to get us where we need to be.